are the New York Knicks.
I'm back. Back in the New York groove.
Well, it's the Knicks.
New York, New York.
New York be about the Knicks, huh?
But the best thing about New York City is
K-N-I-C-K.
Everybody say go New York, go New York, go!
Go New York, go New York, go!
Everybody, welcome to the New York Knicks podcast. Episode, let's call it 628. Who's counting?
Yes. Who's counting? I don't know why Jay's still counting. Go on.
I don't know. It's a lot. It's a lot of episodes. So I was gone. A lot of stuff happened, and now I'm back, and we need to talk about it.
So for those who are married and have to visit your in-laws, be thankful or not thankful that you have to that you don't have to fly across the globe to see your in-laws. Jay was in Thailand, which is awesome, but also a long trip to make every year.
It's a bit of a long trip. So let's just jump right into it. Mitch,
yes,
injured. Reevaluated in 8 to 10 weeks, which means even if he's better, he's going to have to work himself back into game shape. 3 months, probably.
So people were saying that they think he might be back like post All-Star game, maybe like late February, early March. He's also like, because it's his ankle, he's going to be completely out of game shape.
Yeah.
I mean, you saw it, Randall, it hurt effectively. Randall had the surgery over this, like at the end of the regular season, and it was affecting him to start this season. Chances are he will not be in game shape, and really Mitch until beginning of the playoffs, which is fine as long as the Knicks are in the playoffs. As long as the Knicks can get the sixth seed, it won't be that big of a deal.
Yeah. It's just the schedule is brutal. It was the worst possible time for this injury to happen.
You know what a better time would have been? During the offseason. If you're going to get injured in the offseason before the season starts, come on, Mitch. You have to know when to get injured.
I mean, anyway, so
yeah, it sucks. The Knicks have survived in the past without Mitch for a period of time. This is a long stretch. But Jay, have you heard? Reinforcements are here.
Reinforcements are here. So Taj Gibson is back, folks.
Guess who's back? Back again. Can you play Eminem's Back Again? Like, can you play that for this or no? Because you're worried about it.
Getting
copyright.
Demonetized.
Okay.
We don't make any but
okay, pretend you heard Eminem's Back, whatever. Shady's back. But anyway, back out of Fort Greene, off his couch. Hopefully Taj come tonight, puts up like 30 points, which won't happen. Because then they can do the story of he was just on his couch yesterday and today he's putting up 30 points. It's like a great story for a half hour.
So the Knicks' new strategy is going to be the Pacers and just outscore everybody because they're not going to lock everybody down with iHeart playing in Mitch's spot or Sims. So
everyone has to step up. Well, I mean, before even Mitch went out, the defense had fallen off a cliff in the Bucks and the Celtics game. It didn't look that great against the Raptors either. How do you think the Knicks are going to fare in defense, like with Mitch out?
Obviously, I don't think it's going to be good. I think you're going to see a lot more games like the Raptors game, 136-130. I think that's going to be the way they go for the next till Mitch gets back.
I mean, in fairness, the Knicks are not the Pacers. They don't have the offensive or another team with a lot of offensive firepower. Offensive rebounds were actually kind of a key toward their offense, which is going to be hurt. So I assume iHeart's minutes go up. He's probably going to get closer to 30 minutes a game.
Yeah.
I'm assuming Sims is still going to be the main, like, what do you think about Sims starting and iHeart still coming off the bench?
I guess Tibbs really likes the chemistry iHeart has with the bench players. So he didn't kind of want to rock the boat. But then Sims didn't look too good, so iHeart ended up playing a lot anyway. I think Sims is gonna play, but if he has a few bad games in a row, you're gonna see Taj start taking his minutes.
I'm assuming Taj is, yeah, I'm assuming he's here more for like emergencies right now because you want to have a third center because one of them goes down and like he was just an obvious call. But I'm assuming they're going to keep giving Sims a chance. Yeah, I think the idea, I think, I assume the idea was Ihart like is better with the bench, but we're going to let him close the game. We're going to give him more minutes overall, but let's see how it looks just replacing Sims and starting unit.
Because you don't, it's not like Mitch was scoring a lot, so you don't need a guy with a lot of offense to fit into that spot. Taj joining the team, you have a backup power forward now too.
Yes, you do. That's true. You definitely, that's helpful. You have more size than you had before.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he brings almost no offense either, but at least it's another big body. Should Randall get into foul trouble or, you know, you just need to do like another two big man lineup and you don't want Sims or Ihart up there.
Sims is very foul prone also. So like if he gets a bunch of fouls, like at least then you have someone else to go to.
Yeah.
And like the options here were either you're going to sign a guy like Taj, who's very competent, or mm-hmm. try to trade for someone. The problem with trading for someone is that they're going to cost something. And then you have that guy when Mitch gets back and you have to figure out how the minutes are going to work. Unless you're going to make a major move. Like if you're going to get Joel Embiid while he's gone, wonderful. It'll all work out. If you're going to get some, I don't know, you're going to get some mediocre center, is it really worth giving up a first? Is it going to be, what's going to happen to that mediocre center when Mitch comes back?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's worth at least seeing how this goes for a little bit before like overreacting.
Yeah, it's fine. You got him for a vet min. It's a no risk move. You still have all your assets. Should you want to make a bigger move if this isn't working out? I think they like where they are at right now. And so, like you said, they don't want to make a big move, like a panic move, knowing that they're going to have a full roster, knock on wood, for the playoffs.
Also, I mean, this is Sims year three, maybe with some continuous playing time. And also putting with the starters puts less pressure on him to score. And also you have Randall next to him who can help with rebounding. But maybe putting Sims out there like in year three, maybe he starts just looking better. He had some decent moments. He didn't look amazing out there. There was one, I think there was a pick and roll where like him and Brunson went to the same guy and Hurdle like was just wide open for like an easy layup. And like you saw Brunson kind of just look at Sims. Like Sims clearly would like made the, like he clearly made the mistake, but like he's going to get some playing time. Like, either Sims is going to be a worthwhile backup or maybe he won't be worth a roster spot next year. But like he's going to get a big chance here and hopefully he takes that chance and becomes like at least a worthwhile backup.
Yeah, agreed.
And you're going to see more McBride. So IQ is out also, which doesn't help. But I think IQ is day to day and I maybe back tonight. Do you know if he's back tonight against Utah?
Not positive. I think he's like, it's so hard now. You look and everybody's questionable or probable or like it looks like he's coming back, but we might find out at 8:59 that he's not.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever Knicks, it is, it's not serious. And if he misses a game, it'll worst case, it'll probably be just one more.
One really nice sign from the Raptor game was the bench looked a lot better. And that's part of, so I feel like the bench for the last like few games in particular has been very stagnant. They've had trouble finding scoring. And so what do you think about the move? So Grimes was complaining about his usage.
Yeah.
I think Josh Hart complained about his usage also. A lot of guys are complaining about their usage to the media, I guess, instead of directly to Tibbs. But it seems like also they've made efforts to like to improve things. What do you think about the move of Grimes to the bench?
Seemed to help. Grimes had two good games since moving to the bench. Dante ended up having zero field goal attempts in that second game as a starter.
He had one against the Raptors. It seems like being in that unit, the starting unit does not seem like a great unit if your name is not Randall, Brunson, or Barrett for getting shots.
Well, that's the problem. You have three high usage players, and
yeah,
you know, they don't pass a ton. I mean,
Randall, I mean, his assist numbers are actually decent because he's averaging over 5 assists a game.
He's averaging 5. Brunson's averaging 5. 5 is not great for a starting point guard. It's good for a power forward. And RJ doesn't pass very much at all.
No, I mean, he's had some moments of passing. Not a knock on him, but like it's not the most. And also, when you get a pass with this unit, it's a pass. For the most part, it's been a pass for a spot up 3.
Yeah.
That's it. It's not like they're setting you up for any other kind of basket.
Right.
So it's just not a tougher situation.
But I feel like most teams are in that position. Like, how many guys are getting good shots on Phoenix when Beal, Durant, and Booker are all playing? Which
hasn't happened yet, so I don't know.
It's supposed to happen for the first time tonight, 22 games into the season.
By the way, did you see that Draymond Green is suspended indefinitely?
Yeah, I was going to end with around the league stuff and talk about that.
We can skip it. I mean, it's not a Nick thing, but I guess punching a guy in the face doesn't seem to like... The NBA doesn't like that suddenly.
Since when?
It's that, or if you joke it, if you just say something under your breath, you get thrown from the game.
I mean, it's so unbelievably inconsistent.
But so basically, if you have high usage guys, most teams surround them with guys that can shoot, catch and shoot threes, and you need that. DiVincenzo... overall, I don't think is as quite a good a player as Grimes. And you're almost probably better off playing the guy that plays similar. It's almost you're better off having DiVincenzo with the starting unit and Grimes where he can shine a little more with the bench unit.
Yeah, it seems to be working out. And I would hope that it's not like just, oh, I'm not a starter anymore. It's I have a bigger role and this is actually better for me and for the team. So hopefully that's his mindset.
I mean, I think... Tibbs always says that, like, it's not who starts, it's who finishes. I think Grimes finished that game against the Raptors. He got more minutes than he got, just looking at the numbers here, he got 27 minutes while DiVincenzo got 19. I agree with the Tibbs. It's more important who closes. I think people make a big deal about, like, maybe IQ should start. Why is IQ not starting? IQ's been finishing a lot of games. I would like Tibbs generally to have, like, it's one thing to have your starting lineup in like going, this has to be our starting lineup. I'm putting it in like stone, but you have to be flexible with your closing lineups. And it seems like he's very flexible with his closing lineups.
Yeah. Yeah. It just depends who works well with each other. Starting lineups are weird. Who was the Knicks coach that he would start a guy for the first 5 minutes of the game and then not play him the whole rest of the game? And he did that.
Kurt Thomas did that a couple times or a bunch of times during the 54 win season. Kurt Thomas would come in for 5 minutes and that'd be like done for the game.
Yeah, but it was during the bad seasons. I think it was like Lance Thomas. Like he would play like the first 8 minutes of the game and then that was it. I'm like, why even start him if you're doing that? It's just weird. But
I don't know.
The Knicks had a lot of weird things going on for a very long time.
A lot of weird things. So, the clip I want you to play, before you play the clip, I have one thing I want to point out, because it's Knicks related.
Yeah.
So Zion Williamson, have you seen the, I guess, what was reported from his previous diet and conditioning coach?
No, tell me.
His previous diet and conditioning coach said Zion Williamson does not listen, refuses to take his advice, and doesn't seem to care about his body. More or less, I'm paraphrasing him. Mm-hmm. But he said he did not think that Zion was willing to commit to the grind that he needs to be like
an
all-star, basically. Yeah. Like, have you seen Zion this year? He's a few pounds overweight.
Yeah, yeah.
And so I have a theory.
Okay.
And he's actually having a pretty good year. He's not quite the Zion of maybe 2 years ago, but I have a theory.
Mm-hmm.
My theory is he wants to be a Knick. He saw what Melo did with gutting the Knicks with the trade. So Zion's going to eat himself fat enough that it'll be a pretty easy trade for the Knicks to get him.
So he's doing the opposite. Instead of having the Knicks get gutted, he's being so bad that the Pelicans will take a lowball offer.
Instead of gutting the Knicks, he's expanding his gut mm-hmm. to get traded to the Knicks.
I like that theory.
There's nothing. He's also playing pretty well, so my theory doesn't hold a lot of water. But
well, he's playing well now, anyway. But when you're overweight and you jump as much as he does, like you're just waiting to get injured.
Yeah, I don't. It seems to me that it's not a great combination.
Since we're talking about stars potentially moving, if you're Steph Curry, are you asking for a trade at this point?
No, because you're going down as maybe the greatest Golden State Warrior ever. Maybe you're not ready. A jackass that needs to like win every like go. Well, I'm just gonna just train me whoever's about to win the ring kind of thing.
He's already the greatest warrior ever. If I don't ask for a trade, I'm asking them to trade some of these people. Like Wiggins looks washed. Clay looks washed. Draymond just punched Nurkic in the face for no reason and got suspended indefinitely. Like,
in fairness, they're what, like, 2 seasons removed from winning the title?
Yeah, but they're not even in right now, and they look like they're like free falling.
Right, but in fairness to like the team, like, hey, we thought Clay would look better. We thought Wiggins would look better. Like, Steph Curry can just say, hey, could you guys figure this out? Like, I don't like when a player is going to be like, oh, we're not going to win this year. Got to trade me. Like, don't abandon ship. Like, just be like, the Warriors have done right by him. He should also just stick it out there. Unless he wants to be a Knick, then demand a trade right now.
That was a quick 180.
Yeah. I think complete bullshit. Play your whole career there. But if the Knicks can get you, demand a trade tomorrow.
I mean, Wiggins was like, what, an all-star 2 years ago or borderline all-star? And he looks washed up, like completely.
I think there's a rumor like maybe his girl cheated on with him with his friend or something like that. Something personal happened and like has just screwed with his head.
And
is the rumor.
Apparently Clay has got the sads about not getting a max contract.
Okay, Clay hasn't been as good since he got injured.
I know.
Since his major injury, he's not been as good since
he got injured. I read that they offered him 2 years, 48, which is like, he should have jumped at that because he's not going to get half of that now.
Well, I think like they're like, we'll give you 2 years, 48. He's like, do you know if I become a free agent, how dumb the Knicks are?
I don't even think the Knicks would do that at this point.
No, I feel like guys don't. Hey, maybe he'll get a big contract somewhere else. Who the hell knows?
I don't think he's going to. But anyway,
play that clip.
Okay.
There, Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly. They're on a whole nother level in the Eastern Conference.
I have a thing.
Go ahead.
We're talking about the East, and you guys can answer this. This is why the Knicks are going to stay in the middle. Every game that they play, they always have the second best player. You play Boston, you got the second or third best player. You play Orlando with Banchero. They don't have a player that's better than Banchero. Milwaukee, we know they don't. Philadelphia, they don't. The Indiana Pacers, Tyrese Haliburton is the best player on the floor.
He's looking at notes during. Did he need notes for this?
Anyway. I guess. He probably wrote this ahead of time.
Or if you say that.
Correct.
If you play the Miami Heat, Jimmy Butler is the best player on the floor. You play the Cleveland Cavaliers, you have
Donovan Mitchell.
Yeah. You don't have the best player on the floor no night. Now, they could play better than you.
Not even there.
Okay. That's the clip.
Yeah. I mean, I don't know if Donovan Mitchell's really better than Jalen Brunson when Jalen Brunson showed him up in the playoffs.
Right.
I don't know if Banchero's going to be good, but I don't know if he's there yet to be so much better than Randall or Brunson. But
no, I don't think so either.
But I think he made a generally good point that the Knicks roster isn't there yet. And we watched the Knicks play the Bucks and the Celtics. By the way, before I even mention that, the in-season tournament has resulted in the Knicks playing the Bucks and the Celtics for a fifth time each this season. How do you like the in-season tournament, Jay?
I didn't like it to begin with, and now I like it even less. And I also did not appreciate 3 or 4 nights with like no games within a week just so they could spotlight this tournament.
Dumb.
I still don't
Dumbass like tournament. Lakers won it. If the Lake, and like it's like you win it, you're like, okay, we won. We get $500,000? Great. Like there's no one's celebrating. No one's gonna be like, oh, by the way, like LeBron, like he won an in-season tournament. What did Jordan do? Jordan never won an in-season tournament.
Yeah, I don't know. I know some people enjoy it. I don't like it at all. It's like you win this tournament and then you're like, all right, let's play 74 more games. Like, I don't know.
Did I tell you my idea? I might have mentioned to you, but my idea, and I said it on the show already, so I'm repeating myself, but my idea was the winning team for the tournament, they get every player on the team gets one free pass for what they post on Instagram.
Yeah, I did like that.
Okay, so why I bring this up? Why I wanted to play this and talk about where the Knicks are? One of the reasons I feel like the Knicks are not better than the Bucks and the Celtics and the 76ers is because they have not gone all in on their rosters. The Celtics have moved mountains to get their roster to where it is. Obviously, the Celtics have Tatum and Brown, but they also managed to get Derek White, Porzingis, Holiday. They don't have any draft picks. They kind of went all in to build this roster. Mm-hmm. The Bucks went all in to get Dame, and like they had gone all in to get Drew before that. The Sixers went all in to get Harden, and then like I guess they had to trade Harden, but all these teams, I mean, the Nuggets were an exception, but most teams that like compete for a title really go all in with their roster, and the Knicks just haven't done that yet. And I don't think you can really compete for a title unless you go all in with the roster.
I have a theory on why they have not.
They don't have an all-star?
Leon Rose is the George R.R. Martin of basketball. So George R.R. Martin wrote the Game of Thrones series, right? So yeah. Started off, he drafted Mitch, he drafted IQ, he drafted Grimes. Really good. That's the original.
He didn't draft Mitch.
Grimes, IQ. He made a couple good moves. That's the beginning of the series where it was really good. Then he ends up drafting Obi over Halliburton. He signs a bunch of contracts that he tries to get rid of immediately. That's book four, which sucked. So then he moves on and he makes some good moves. He gets Brunson. He gets Dante. Started off a little slow, but by the end he made some good moves. That because starting off slow, I'm saying the Kemba. Attaching a pick to get rid of Kemba. Started off slow. Got Brunson, got Dante. That's book five. Started off slow, got good. Now, if you know George R. Martin, it's been 12 years. He hasn't written book six. That is Leon Rose punting on the draft the last 2 years. He got writer's block. He doesn't know what to do. And he's just punting. And we will never see the final move, just like we will never see the final book. And that is my long analogy.
I have to say, that could have been the worst analogy I've ever heard in my life. You even got like things that happen out of order. I don't know what you were in. Like you're comparing getting Dante DiVincenzo to getting Jalen Brunson.
No, both of those were good moves, which was the second half of book five.
His first move was drafting Obi over. That's the first thing movie ever made was drafting Obi over Halliburton. Whatever. Your analogy is terrible, but basically you're just saying he's not going to, he's just going to hold his cards and never.
Like, he is scared of the final result and the criticism that'll come with it. And so he's just going to keep punting down the road and living off of his reputation of whatever he did to get here.
It's not that it's a rush to do the moves either. Like it's not unreasonable he hasn't done a move, but I feel like you're really going to have trouble competing until you take that next step. Like the Celtics added, Porzingis, you added Porzingis as your fourth best option on offense. That's Porzingis, like that's a pretty incredible player to add for your fourth option.
Yeah, I'm not even saying he needs to go all in on an all-star, but the punting on the draft, everyone's talking about this war chest of draft picks we have. You realize none of these picks have conveyed, and three of them are about to become second rounders.
So these are separate issues. I feel like he's not doing an amazing job with it. I think the job we've talked about before, the job on the draft hasn't been as amazing as people have made it out to be. It's been a mediocre draft.
Like but it goes along with it because other teams aren't stupid and they know these draft picks are worthless. You think Detroit's going to get good in the next 2 years? No, that's going to be second round draft picks for the Knicks. Like,
they're getting the Dallas pick this year. That's going to convey. Dallas having a very good season. You'll have two first rounders this year. The Wizards pick likely will not convey.
I mean, I'm super excited about the 26th pick. I mean, it's still not a good pick.
I just don't know really also like if he's ever like he has two picks going to this draft. I don't know if he's planning on actually drafting people because it seems like he's moved away from, especially the last 2 years, he's moved away from the draft. But he's also hasn't done. I mean, it made it interesting. The team is very good. They're far better than where they were when before he got here. And we're a team that's like, I don't know, if second rounds are ceiling. But at some point, basically, if you're going to, you can say, hey, why aren't the Knicks as good as the Celtics? Why are they not as good as the Bucks? I mean, obviously, you don't have a. It's hard to get a star level the way, like, hard to get a Tatum or Giannis.
How did they get Tatum and Giannis?
They drafted them.
Oh, they drafted them. Right.
Yes, they drafted them. Yeah, I was like, and Giannis was like a middle of the pack pick that turned out to be amazing. Like, two of the best players in the NBA were guys the Knicks could have gotten. Like, Giannis was like what, the 15th pick, and Jokic was like in the 37th pick of the draft or whatever it was, the second round.
Mm-hmm.
So I did this with you over messaging, but I made a top 10 list of guys the Knicks could have drafted but did not draft over the last few years, last 6 years. My top 10 list were guys that basically the Knicks missed out on.
Mm-hmm.
And you're right, like, either you nail a draft pick, the Knicks have not really nailed draft picks, or you get guys. I mean, the Knicks nailed, the one move they've nailed this whole time really has been Brunson. That was, they nailed that move. And Randall, in some ways, like, you may not love Randall, by the way, since game seven of the season, he's been goddamn awesome. Is that fair to say?
Yeah.
He's been playing like an all-star. Like, he, first four, six games of the season, he was horrendous. Since those six games were over, he's been playing like all-star Randall. Like, he's had some really good nights lately. And I posted
Eastern Conference Player of the Week.
Yeah, he's been looking really good. He's been efficient. He's been scoring. He's helped the Knicks win games.
Yeah.
But here's 10 guys, my top 10 list of guys the Knicks could have drafted, reasonably could have drafted. They did not draft in the last 6 years. We got Hallie. We got Donovan Mitchell. We got SGA. We got Mikal Bridges. We got Porter, Bane, Garland, Devin Vassell, Jalen Williams, Jalen Duren, who... not as great, and dishonorable mention for Miles Bridges. But generally, there's a bunch of guys in this list, as you said, Jay, over messaging you said to me, over chat you said to me, the Knicks keep saying, like, if we can only trade for one of these guys that we miss in the draft.
Yeah, their goal is to get a guy like the guys they're punting on the draft. It's
right.
Weird.
I mean, we would kill to get Hallie, Donovan Mitchell, Mikal Bridges, SGA, all guys that were there for the taking.
Yeah. I mean, I get SGA. I get Donovan Mitchell. You know, those weren't clear choices at the time. But Halliburton and Bridges was unforgivable. I know people don't want to focus on the draft. That's fine. It's just frustrating because I feel like the Knicks are like one piece away. And that piece was there.
Yeah.
I feel that if Halliburton was on this team right now, we wouldn't be talking about trades. That's just...
right.
I feel like... but you still...
Halliburton is on the Pacers. They need to make trades to get better.
Yeah, but the Knicks have a better roster than the Pacers.
Yeah. They might need... Pacers might need a better power forward, I'm just saying.
One that averages more than 3 rebounds a game?
Yes, I think 3 rebounds a game from your power forward, not amazing. One, they can play some defense. But this current roster, you can just improve some guy. Like, if you turn, like, you need... so one thing, like, from just watching Halliburton play, is that, like, the Knicks could really use a guy. I mean, they obviously use a guy like him, but the Knicks could really use a guy that can break down defenses. The Knicks don't really have that.
Yeah, they have... like, the Knicks' top three are all basically ISO players.
Right. And there's certain... none of them are really fast. Mm-hmm. Like, they're... like, Brunson can be quick at times. Or he's shifty. IQ is shifty. They're not really fast. The Knicks don't have any really fast players.
Yeah. So, how are you feeling about the upcoming schedule? A lot of above 500 teams. I think 12 out of the next 12 games, 7 or 8. I think 8 out of the next 12.
I mean, at least we have Mitchell Robinson. We'll be fine. It doesn't look yes. It looks like a rough stretch. And so far this season, the Knicks have, if you are an average or worse team, the Knicks have beaten you. If you're a really good team, the Knicks have lost you. That's basically been the story up this point.
They are 11-0 against sub 500 teams, and I believe 2-9 against playoff teams.
I mean, looking at the schedule coming up, you have the Jazz tonight, which is starting just about now, and Knicks should beat the Jazz.
Is there some unwritten rule in the NBA that when you play the Knicks, whoever has been injured makes his grand comeback that day? Because Markkanen is coming back after not playing for about a month. He's back tonight.
I heard the rumor that that Jesus rose from the grave. Who rose from the grave?
It was Jesus.
Jesus rose from the grave?
Yeah, the day before he played the Knicks.
Okay. As a Jew, I'm just not as good with this story. But
it's Old Testament.
That was the joke I was going to make. Fine, forget it, Jay. Screw you.
So Andrew says, from now through the end of the year, the Knicks have the sixth hardest schedule.
The Knicks started the season with a pretty hard schedule. It hasn't gotten better.
No.
At least the NBA threw in extra games against the two best teams in the East. That was helpful.
That seemed reasonable.
That seems totally reasonable. But you got Utah tonight. You got Phoenix Friday. That's going to be tough. You got the Clippers, who are playing better now that they've kind of meshed a little bit with Harden. They got the Lakers. Not the best schedule. They got Brooklyn, then Milwaukee. Milwaukee twice this coming weekend.
Mm-hmm.
Then OKC, then Orlando. Knicks don't have an easy game again for a while. They got Utah, and the next easy game is, I guess, January 3rd against Chicago.
Great.
Awesome. What a stretch coming up.
So how are you feeling? I mean, you think they're going to be able to weather this storm without Mitch?
I do. I'm going to say the Knicks are actually going to surprise everyone and go undefeated for the rest of eternity. I think the Knicks will probably play a little above 500 during the stretch. They'll win some games that will surprise you, and they'll lose some games too. But I think they'll split with the Bucks back to back. Usually when you play them back to back, like usually there's a split. They got some tough matchups. I don't know.
I mean, slightly above 500 without your defensive anchor in a really hard part of the schedule. Not the worst.
Yeah, I'm saying like in the next 12 games, maybe they go 7-5 or 6-5 in the next 11. I don't know. They'll play slightly better than 500. I mean, Brunson is playing well. Randall's playing well. You get Grimes now playing well. They have a lot of weapons. The Knicks have a very good team. It's just this is a rough schedule, and it's rough not to have your best center.
Yeah.
And then when you go against teams with size, that's going to be a problem. Though I guess like Utah doesn't have a ton of size. I guess is Kessler playing?
I believe he's injured too.
Good. Okay. You don't have Kessler. Phoenix doesn't really have a center. Or they got
Nurkic if he doesn't have a concussion from Draymond.
They got the Clippers don't have a ton of size. Lakers have size, obviously. That'll be a problem. Brooklyn, going to be an interesting season. I feel like the Knicks just have to get to the six seeds. You don't have to be in that tournament. Mm-hmm. They're just the NBA is a series of tournaments. and then you got a shot in the playoffs.
Yeah. All right.
And the Knicks should be good enough to get the sixth seed.
Then they could play the Bucks for the seventh time.
I mean, even if you play the Bucks first round, like, you have to beat the Bucks to get to the finals. So, yep. Like, whether you play them in the first round, or the second round, or whenever.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, and the Bucks are clearly beatable in the first round, as we've seen before. So,
I'm not that scared of the Bucks, really.
I think them getting rid of their best defender for a guard that is a terrible defender was not a
They're two best defenders. Move. Grayson Allen was a really good defender, too.
Yeah. I mean, obviously, they have Giannis and they have Brooke Lopez, but like, I think the Dame move was just a bad move.
They're basically doing what the Knicks are going to be doing the next couple weeks, and they're just trying to outscore everybody now.
So who are some guys here's a question. So one of the guys that had been talked about, I guess when you were gone, was Bogdanović from Detroit, version of him.
Mm-hmm.
He is basically not a very good defender, which makes him not a great fit for Tibbs, but a much better shooter. Like, he's a better version of Evan Fournier.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? Do you think it'd make sense to make a move for a guy like that? And this is, like, I guess, in the this is the idea of this is another Josh Hart, Derrick Rose, smaller move that improves the roster, maybe. What do you think of that kind of move?
I don't think it does much. Like, who's falling out of the rotation now? And is he going to do more than whoever's falling out of the rotation?
He's a really good shooter. And that it gives you a lot more offense, basically, than you were getting, especially on your bench.
Right. But who are you not playing now? You're not playing Hart?
Well, you got to play Hart. It's tough to take the minutes away.
Like, somebody's not playing.
The other idea thrown out there is DeRozan. What do you think about getting DeRozan on a team that probably needs more outside shooting than inside shooting? But what do you think of DeRozan's obviously all-star level player. What do you think of getting him?
He's 35, so yes. I wouldn't give up a lot for a guy who's near the end of his career.
So I think I saw a proposal that was Grimes, which is a tough a big defender to get rid of, but Grimes, the Dallas first, and Evan Fournier. That was the general idea for DeRozan. And I don't know if Chicago really does that, but
I mean, that's not bad. I would probably do it, but does that get them there?
I don't know if that gets you that far. I mean, DeRozan's obviously a really great.
I think it makes the Knicks better, but does it move the needle that much? Like, you can make the argument that the Knicks are the fourth best team in the East behind Boston, Milwaukee, and Philly.
Yeah, maybe. And Miami's close, but yeah.
Does that get you into third, or you're still in fourth?
I mean, also, part of the reason you lost to the Bucks and the Celtics the last in those last two games is because those guys shot the lights out from three.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas not everyone's going to shoot the lights out from three. And generally in the NBA, if one team shoots really well from three and the other team shoots poorly, game over.
Yeah.
But Knicks have been actually pretty good from three this year. But if anything, you'd feel like you want another guy who could really shoot from three. I mean, DeRozan kind of occupies the same space as Brunson does already. And Randall, as of late, seems like he's more interested in shooting twos anyway.
Mm-hmm, which is good.
Which is fine. Yeah. But the Knicks, you know what? The Bucks game, were you back? Did you watch the Bucks game? I know you were away, obviously.
I got to watch like one quarter of it, then I had to go. But I mean, they were just hitting every single shot.
So what I found, and the Bucks kept hitting every shot, which was crazy. But I also found just interesting on the Knicks side of it. The Knicks just weren't, I mean, the Knicks ended up shooting, looks like, they ended up shooting a lot of threes, I guess. They should end up shooting 23 threes, not a lot of threes. It seemed like for the first half of the game, the Knicks just weren't shooting threes at all. They just did not try to shoot threes. And I found it really, and they shot a bunch late, but it was like, I don't know, you got to shoot threes in the NBA. It was weird, the Knicks had like a weirder version of shooting threes early in the game.
Yeah.
While the Bucks couldn't miss from three.
Yeah, I mean, the Knicks aren't even shooting bad from three. They're shooting 38% as a team.
That's top, I think, like eighth in the NBA. Like, it's not bad.
Yeah.
Then what do you think about a guy like, so DeRozan is not an outside threat, so maybe it doesn't make sense. Zach LaVine is a better three-point shooter, but his own team doesn't want to play him anymore.
He gets injured way too much.
Yeah, but he's also like, something's wrong there. His own team doesn't really want to play him anymore.
Yeah. No, I would stay away from that.
And then who else? There's also because of this, because there's 10 teams make the playoffs, or at least the postseason tournament, whatever. There are teams that are just really bad, but then there's a lot of mediocre teams that are just probably not necessarily making a trade. I'm not training for Cat, but like at the same time, Minnesota, there's no way in hell Minnesota's making a trade. Like they're playing, they're having a great season. They're not going to rock that boat.
No, definitely not.
I mean, do you want, Knicks are playing Utah tonight. Utah's pretty, I don't know where Utah's going. So like maybe Markkanen's on the table. Do you put Markkanen at the three next to Randall at the four? What do you think of that?
I kind of like it.
It's not bad in offense. I don't know if Markkanen's the best defender. It's interesting.
I mean, is RJ like locking it down on defense anyway?
Oh yeah. Okay. Fine. It's fine. I mean, RJ, he looked better last night against the other night against Toronto. Maybe he's back to being regular RJ.
He is back to being regular RJ. Regular RJ is inconsistent, and some nights he looks like an all-star, and some nights he just looks okay. That's RJ.
RJ is, I just don't think he'll ever be the next level player. I think he's, the best you can get from him is that he improves his percentages a little bit more. Like, shooting percentage goes up a little bit more. I don't know if the three-point percentage is going to be that great, but his free throw percentage has been a lot better, which is, and getting to the line a lot, that's been the biggest improvement in his game.
That's definitely been his improvement. He increased, I think, 10% over last season so far.
Yeah, and I'm not knocking him. I just don't think he's going to be like, the great thing is that you took a guy at number three who ends up being an all-star, or like being a really like the true star on the team.
Yeah.
I don't think he's ever going to surpass Randall and Brunson as being like the best player on this team.
And I don't think that those two players are holding him back. I think he is what he is.
Yeah. And he's a good player, yeah. Like very helpful.
Yeah.
Donovan Mitchell. So he has basically not committed to going back to Cleveland. He's not up for another season, but like, is he a guy like you trying to make a trade for him next season or?
Only if you don't have to give up too much, because again, to give up a bunch of assets for a guy you can sign in free agency, not a big fan of that.
Well, wouldn't be a free agent until the summer of 25. So that's a while from now.
Right, but if he plays out this season and then at the beginning of next season, he's like, I'm not re-signing.
Then you can get him for a better value.
Yeah. Like,
probably
yeah.
Trading for him this year. Cleveland's not trading him this year anyway.
No, and definitely not. I don't think him and Garland are working out.
What about swapping here? Jericho Swims for Wembanyama. I mean, I see like the Spurs are probably looking to sell because they're bad this year. And Sims is an exciting young player.
They are on a 17-game losing streak. I don't think that's the kind of player. He's not a winning player.
He's just not a winning player. Maybe they both just need. I think Wembanyama needs a change in scenery.
Yeah, yeah.
Are you amazed how bad they are with Wembanyama?
Do you know that there was a time this season that the Spurs and the Pistons were above 500.
That seems incredible. The Pistons are so bad.
So they were both above 500 at one point, and Detroit is on a 20-game losing streak, and Spurs are on a 17-game losing streak. They have five wins total between the
two. That's insane. I also would think like Detroit's an example of this, like, dude, just you need the draft better. Like, I don't know what you're doing with this roster. Like, I mean, you got Cade, who looks pretty good. You remember when the Knicks were trying to move up in the draft to get Jaden Ivey?
Yeah.
That would have worked out poorly.
You know what I would have taken a look at is Weissman. He's not playing on Detroit.
Didn't Detroit already do that? Aren't they doing that already?
They're not
For the Knicks? You mean like...
Fournier for Weissman trade works. I don't know.
Is Weissman getting that much money?
He's getting 12.
Oh. I mean, maybe that's... I mean, like, there's got to be something there. Like, he'd probably be better than Sims.
Right. That's my point.
Even if you just traded, I think... Yeah. Like, even if you traded them their own pick back, like the rest of the Detroit pick without the protection. So you just took the protections away. Maybe you can get Weissman for like very little.
Yeah, I mean, I just figured.
Like we have a Detroit protected first, and like that's never going to convey. Like Detroit, if you took away the protections, Detroit could trade that pick, use it as an asset.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know.
So maybe that would be like, maybe like
a smaller move that would help the big men rotation.
Yeah, that's not a bad idea. It's not a bad idea.
It's not like they're going to play him behind Durant anyway. But,
right. I just want to, is there like a big move we can make? That's like, I want to win the title tomorrow, Jack.
I know.
I'm just tired of not winning the title.
I know.
I wish the Knicks could just be that. I wish they could be. The problem is that like last year, it was exciting to get to the second round. Mm-hmm. This year, I'm excited that they'll go to the playoffs. Like, they should go to the playoffs.
Yeah.
But I wish I felt strongly they were competing for a title. I just don't think they're good enough yet.
Right. I feel like they are.
I know that. It's just frustrating.
Going in knowing that they're a playoff team, but they have almost no chance of getting past the second round is kind of anticlimactic. At least with the 90s, like they could beat the Bulls. Like they could win it all.
Yeah.
And, you know, they took them to seven games a couple times. Like, it was very exciting. Now I just I can't see them beating like Boston in seven.
It's also just understanding the path forward is really tough. I mean, this is why I guess Leon hasn't made any moves, because like the guys available, like, kind of understand him not gutting the team for Donovan Mitchell, and it hasn't gotten Cleveland anywhere yet.
Right.
People are like, we should, like, Randall's playing well, let's trade him. I don't like Randall is doesn't. Currently, Brunson is your best player, not Randall. I know people are like, well, you can't win with Randall being your second best player. Fine. Get someone better. Make him your third best player. But, like, it's hard to, like, his production is pretty good. He plays like an all-star. Like,
yeah. I don't think you're going to get equal value if you trade away Randall. And if you don't get equal value, you're worse, which is not the point. So,
or you make some, maybe you make, use your draft pick instead of going for an all-star. You just guys on like the Porzingis type level, find one or two of those guys who aren't quite like superstars, but guys that would make the team just that much stronger.
Yeah.
Like in many ways, you could have tried to go in for Drew Holiday. That would have been a huge upgrade for the team.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, you just keep upgrading every position. That's what you do.
Right.
Yeah. It's, keep upgrading, it's a tough situation because there's no good fit star. There's like second tier stars like LaVine that you could probably get, but there's no, even like if you say Toronto might want to blow it up. Have you seen what Siakam's doing this season? It's
no,
really,
he hasn't been.
He's shooting like 20% from three. Like he just can't shoot anymore. And so like I wouldn't want to trade for him.
I don't think he adds. Well, I'm OG, what do you think about OG? OG looked really good against the Knicks. He seems like a guy that would be a solid. We actually really do need a small forward, a true small forward that plays defense. Maybe he would be the guy you go for. I mean, he has. What do you think about OG?
I don't think Toronto gets rid of him. I think they get rid of Siakam and try and go with the youth movement. And OG's young enough to fit in with that.
They were like at least talking about trading him last year. So like,
yeah, because everybody was like making offers. I don't think they were talking about it. I think everybody was making offers for him.
Would you trade three first to get him?
No. Is he three first good? No.
I mean, that really, if you make that move, though, the roster looks a lot better.
If those three firsts are the three protected firsts, yes, but not
well,
the three
no one wants
first.
Those.
Nobody yes. wants those. No.
You could probably trade the Dallas. The Dallas pick probably has the most value because at least it'll convey.
Yeah. I am completely traumatized from all the draft picks the Knicks traded that ended up being great players, and I don't want to trade the Knicks draft picks anymore.
Well, you have to do one of two things. You have to either trade your draft picks to get better or draft players. The Knicks don't seem like they're that interested in, I mean, we'll see what happens this offseason, but like, kind of have to use your draft picks.
Yeah. Yeah, that would be nice. I mean,
it'd be nice to have like young developing players 11 through 15 that make a guy like maybe you trade IQ or just trade someone else, but like they're more expendable because you have guys that are like on their heels, basically. Other guys like knocking on the door who need playing time also.
So I think your top 10 should have had Jalen Duran on there.
I said him.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah. But I watched him in the Detroit game. I wasn't that impressed. He's fine. He's probably the worst of the guys they could have drafted.
Yeah.
I don't. Do you think he's that? Like he's fine, but like I'm not. I'm much more unhappy about the other guys on that list. And I guess like Porter. I mean, like he's a major injury. I'm not the Knicks training for Porter anyway. But like there's obviously other guys who are just better on that list.
I mean, you say like whatever for Duran, but like if it was Duran or the nothing the Knicks ended up getting, I would rather Durant.
I do. I mean, let's move off this draft thing. But like, I do think there had to have been a way. I mean, they said he needed to clear cap space so they can get Jalen Brunson, and Brunson was awesome. That's great. There must have been some way you could have cleared the cap space and used your first round pick,
right?
Because they didn't. They didn't use the first pick. They used the first pick to move off of Kemba, which was just so. It's just the level of. Rose has built a very good team here. It's a competitive team, better than it's been in years. Mm-hmm. They're fun. There's a lot of great things he's done, but he's had two major fuck-ups since he's been here. Mm-hmm. The one was drafting Obi. Whatever you want to say about Obi, Haliburton was the obvious pick. It made sense. The Knicks were in desperate need for a point guard, or even Devin Vassell would have made more sense. The Obi pick, drafting a guy that doesn't play goddamn defense when your coach you just hired was Tom Thibodeau was insane.
Yeah.
Okay, that's a bit, and also being like, oh, I just drafted the guy that my son he represents. That just looks like, what the fuck's wrong with you doing that draft pick? Okay, that's one, that's insane. And then the other one was the following summer where they locked up so much goddamn money they had no flexibility going forward. They went all in a roster where you're like, hey, these are all very tradable. We locked up Alec Burks, and we locked up Nerlens Noel, and they made it seem like they made all these smart moves, and then basically you just said, okay, you know what you did? It made it so hard to improve this roster. We had to trade a first-round pick to move fucking Kemba Walker's contract.
And literally none of those guys worked out.
It was the summer of disaster. That was a disaster. That whole summer was a disaster. Fine. You screwed those two things up, but something's going to be good. Every team president GM makes mistakes. He was pretty good right now. So overall, he's been a positive. Just those two moves were pretty goddamn bad.
That was the red wedding of summer moves. I'm going to go back to
that. And the Knicks could have, forgetting Durant, they could have Jalen Williams, who would have been a great fit in this team. But whatever. We're way too bitter about this stuff. I do think the Knicks will look better. I think the Knicks have a very good team. They're going to start beating teams over 500. That's going to happen very soon.
I was initially really like, oh, Mitch is out. The Knicks are screwed. I'm starting to come around on the Knicks are going to weather the storm and they're going to be all right.
I mean, the Knicks weathered last year when he was out for a time period. The Knicks, I mean, it helps that Josh Hart is playing better now. It helps that Grimes is playing better. IQ will be back. He'll play well. It helps that Randall has been playing awesome lately. It helps that Brunson had an off game against Toronto, but he generally has been still been lights out from three. Like
Ihart's playing really good. The Knicks depth is their strength. They don't have a ton of big guys, but I think Todd only needs to play like 15 minutes a game and the Knicks are okay.
Yeah, or Sims. I think if you get Ihart up to 30 minutes a game, which is very reasonable, mm-hmm. you'll get a lot of production out of Ihart. It'll be fine. Like, I just think, like, signing Taj was just like a no-brainer. People were joking about it right after the Knicks were going to sign him. I was like, I know people are joking about it, but they're really going to sign Taj. There's just no way, like, he's available. He knows Tibbs. Like, he's very competent. You have to try your in-house options and your basically free options first.
Yeah.
Making a move doesn't make sense. I mean, if obviously the Knicks just start losing a bunch of games, then you reevaluate.
Agreed. So,
also, by the way, the Knicks currently, they're 13-9. Last season didn't really even start for the Knicks till they were 10-13.
Mm-hmm.
But the Knicks haven't even played the same number of games before the Knicks had, like, they took off last year. So, it's a long season.
It is. So, before next episode, they're playing Utah, Phoenix, Clippers, and Lakers.
Oh, by the way, what about Poeltl? You think that Toronto would, but then again, that means involved like a more of a long term. You replace one of your centers with Poeltl.
I like Poeltl, but when I thought Toronto was going to blow it up, they actually added Poeltl. So it seems like they're trying to make the playoffs.
Yeah, I feel like teams are just like, I'm not sure which direction to go, and it's a lot less
tanking with the play-in tournament. Like Toronto would probably be in tank mode if this was without the play-in tournament, but right now they could sneak in. And, you know, they're only a half a game out of the 10th spot. So,
yeah, I mean, it's really a couple teams are horrendous and everyone else is either mediocre or good.
Right. You can say like, all right, we could pass the Hawks, make the play-in. We're in the playoffs. Anything can happen when we're in there. Like, you can talk yourself into that.
Yeah. I also, like Miami made a run. Like anything could happen. I also don't know if, I don't know that much about college basketball. I don't follow it that closely, but supposedly the next draft is supposed to be pretty mediocre.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like it's almost like every other year. You have a really good class and then you have a bad one.
Yeah. I saw a video. There's some kid, basically. He's 12 years old, 7'2". It was insane. He's just like dunking on everyone and just mm-hmm. playing against little kids who are his same age.
Yeah. I saw that clip too, but like, that's not how you develop a good game. Like, you're just taller than everybody. Like, he did no moves. Like, I saw no outside shots, like, no post moves. He's just like, catch the ball over somebody's head and like lay it off. Like,
I'm sure we just saw highlights. I'm sure there are like people who are working with him and like, hey, you need to like fuck the books. You need to like work in the NBA. I'm sure people are working with him. Like,
I hope so.
You're that size. People aren't just like, hey, you just play against 12-year-olds. Like, they figure it out, basically.
I hope they're doing dribbling drills and stuff, because that's probably the most important skill that tall.
Right. I watched Wemby. His dribbling skills are really helpful. Hey, Wemby, go to the basket. You're so much taller than everyone. No, I'm going to dribble like a guard.
I mean, it doesn't help that they're playing Sochan as a point guard when he's not a point guard.
Yeah, actually, I think Wemby's actually been playing. I think he's generally been playing fine. So I think the team's just really bad.
Yeah, yeah, they're worse than I thought. I mean, it didn't help, like, one of their best players is Vassell, and then he got injured for, like, 10 games, so.
Yeah, I also kind of think, like, you know, 5 years from now, Wemby's going to be one of the top three players in the NBA. Like, it's good, like, he's just, like, he's so young, he has an amazing skill set.
Yeah, they'll be fine.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Schedule, Jazz, Suns, Clippers, Lakers, all on the road.
Okay, so the next five games, I'm going to say win tonight against the Jazz. I'm going to say they are going to lose, win Phoenix, lose LA, lose the Clippers, beat the Lakers, and beat Brooklyn.
Okay.
Did I do six games or did five?
You did five, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, they're going to go 3-2 because that's my slightly above 500.
I think they go 4-1.
Okay. Which was the one loss for you?
The Lakers.
Lakers. Yeah, the Lakers look pretty good. I mean, did you know the Lakers are the in-season tournament champs?
I mean, if there was any franchise that needed more accolades, it was the Lakers. So I'm very happy for them. They don't have enough things hanging from their rafters.
Well, I think it would be pathetic if they hung this from their rafters.
Well, they are. They already said.
They said they're going to?
Yeah, they have one of those banners where you can add to it. So they're putting a little, like, we won, and they're leaving space for the next.
Maybe they should do the in-season tournament, like in a week. Just do, like, 30 games. Like, do a real March Madness tournament where it's really, like, don't have the rounds to get in. Just do, like, single elimination for a week.
You want, like, in-season tournament 2, Electric Boogaloo?
Yeah, well, this version sucked. Like, wouldn't it be great, like, you take the top, you take the team's records on December 1st, and just you seed it based on that.
Oh, next season.
Next season. The first month and a half of the season, you base it on that season.
I thought you were like, oh, I like this so much, let's do it again next week.
Yeah, he's like, can we have 7 in-season tournaments? The ratings were
just
decent.
Just every month is a tournament.
So I would just basically take, seed it 30, like you have 32 teams, but 30. So give the top two teams a bye, and then just do single elimination until you get a winner.
Andrew said make the season shorter. So the players, the staff, and the fans all said the season's too long. We want a shorter season. So the NBA is like, I hear you. We're going to add an 83rd game for two teams.
Yeah. I also like the, I think you pointed out that they were talking about the stats of Anthony Davis in the finals, and they're like, those stats actually don't count because the 83rd game is an anomaly. It just doesn't count for anything.
Yeah, there were all these Lakers fans were like, he's the first player with 40, 20, and 5. I'm like, actually, he's not, because that game counted for nothing. So
the actual stats, though, it's so weird they don't count stats from that game either.
Because it's the only 83rd game. You can't have one team with 83. And
yeah, you can. Just do it. Who cares?
Well, then what if they, like, you know, what
gives a shit?
What if Wembanyama falls 26 points short of LeBron's all-time scoring record, and it's because LeBron played an 83rd game in his 20th year. You're messing with history.
By the way, if you flew to Utah tonight, you can get tickets for $11.
So you could fly to Utah, get the tickets, and still have it cheaper than the Knicks. That's great.
Yeah, yeah. Though if you want to see the Knicks play Milwaukee on Christmas Day, tickets are as low as $180.
It's disgusting.
Okay. I think we're done.
All right. So thanks for listening, everybody. We will be back next week. We got all the draft stuff out of our system. So
no, Jay has never. Jay's tombstone will like be. There'll just be a quote of him complaining about the draft.
I'm never ever going to get over the Halliburton draft, but I will not talk about it on the show every week. I promise.
We got to stop talking about it, Jay.
We do.
It's too even to like. I'm like, Jay, shut the fuck up about it already.
I know.
Even though I talked about it also.
I know. That was the last time. So.
But I think my bigger point was that the Knicks just need to go all. To get to the next level, you have to go all in, make the extra trades. Not that they have to do it right now, but that's how they're going to. Leon's got to make his move.
Well, let's see what happens the next star that gets disgruntled and asks out, because I'm not thrilled with any of the ones that are available right now.
Right. There's no one that I didn't want James Harden. I don't think Donovan Mitchell was the. It would be nice, but I don't know if he would. I'm not sure who will ask out. What mysterious player will ask out, but hopefully. It's SGA in Oklahoma.
I mean, it's probably going to be somebody that we don't even expect. That just seems to be the way it is.
Right. Like, hopefully Devin Booker's like, fuck you, Kevin Durant. I'm coming to the Knicks.
Yeah, we'll be back next week. And then, I guess we'll do one right before the holidays. And
I think, by the way, I set a record for the most F-bombs on the show. I don't think I ever curse on the show usually. But
you got pretty worked up. And it was you ranting about the draft.
Okay, whatever.
All right, goodbye, everybody.
Bye, love.
Goodbye, everybody.
Goodbye.
It's all over.
Goodbye.
It's time to go.
This is the end.
Say goodbye.